This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Ibrahim Sani and Kusu Chuang here with me. In the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about US quarterly earnings, also the high-speed rail and Malaysia Airlines. Kicking it off with Netflix, the streaming giant's shares plunged 14% in trade last night after it surprised Wall Street by reporting slower than expected subscriber growth for the second quarter. What does this mean? Investors not Netflixing and chilling? Netflix and chill, Chuang?
Well, the big concern is that the streaming service story and the big growth boom that's come along with it is coming to an end. We saw Netflix report domestic as well as international subscriber growth not meeting analyst expectations, and of course, no surprises that their shares plunged by 14%. I think as much as 14%. I think the big story as well, not just in America, but it's international numbers, and specifically China, where it's everybody from all the FANG stocks like Facebook and Apple are all chasing the 721 million Chinese internet users. That story appears to be weaker than expected because of regulatory issues.
So Netflix is in China? Is that right?
I think they're trying to get into it.
It's
one of most tech stocks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thing with Netflix is that the content is foreseeable in the sense that the Chinese government likes, that kind of steadiness. They don't like a spontaneity, and that's why YouTube and Facebook will have a tough time getting in. But the thing with Netflix is that all the content is pre-programmed. All the Chinese authorities need to do is just vet them if they want to. So that's why Netflix believes they have a strong case to be ad in China because of that censorship aspect. You can censor Netflix.
So just to correct myself, Netflix is not in China yet. Perhaps this is a market that they do want to grow in. But you know, Chuang, just going back to what you said about the subscriber growth. So it's not so much about the fact that streaming is not here to stay. It is that the platform of watching TV has changed forever, right? We're watching it on the go now. Streaming is going to be the way forward. But whether Netflix has got the pricing right, whether the target market is there, because according to some reports, Jim Cramer, for instance, he said that if you look at the breakdown of the subscriber base, it's the price of Netflix that's scaring people away. In fact, people are switching out of Netflix for just a couple of bucks.
Well, you look at the Netflix story, the earnings story is two halves, right? The first half is the domestic US numbers, and the street had forecast 500,000 new members in the quarter. They only added 160,000, which is a third of what was expected. They also added 1.5 million internationally, and they were expecting the street 2 million. So that's another big miss there. At the end of the day, even though most people expect Netflix to be the streaming, de facto streaming service out there, mm-hmm. It is a highly price sensitive market, which has led Jim Cramer to say that, $2 here and there makes a huge difference. And if you look at it, the starting price on Netflix is $9 per month, whereas Hulu is $8 a month. So they're already more expensive than Hulu. And for them to go up by $1 or $2 in America, it's a big no-no for subscribers.
I mean, just look at it here, right? I mean, how many of us in this room, in fact, is subscribed to Netflix?
I Netflix.
Chuang, do you Netflix?
Nola.
There you go. Nola. So you got 2 out of 3. So I guess in Malaysia themselves, in an urban setting where we have access to internet and so on, it's still 2 over 3. They're not getting that 100% market share.
Well, it's about choice. It's a consumer choice, right? The minute you have more than one player in the market, $2 or $3 is going to make a difference to me if I have a cheaper option.
And you know what? The big dark secret is that you can actually get a lot of the latest movies and series for free anyway on illegal streaming services, right?
No. While illegal streaming is made available, I think Malaysians, they still need that access to view and consume the media on the devices. Apple has that. You can actually stream it on your iPad and so on. So the flexibility of the ease of use is still important. So I can get the latest movies out there on some torrent sites, illegally downloaded, of course. That's why I never do it.
Well, torrent is one thing, but streaming is another, and you've got illegal streaming services as well.
Absolutely. And this is where the comparison is drawn. In Malaysia, at least, people are drawn towards vernacular consumption. That's why Astro has a good, strong foothold in the Malaysian cable space. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's the same elsewhere. In Korea, it's rather homogenous. In Indonesia, they're rather homogenous. Philippines as well. They're not as diversified as a country like Malaysia. There are diversified countries like Malaysia in Singapore, for instance, in Thailand even. But I don't know whether that vernacular aspect plays plays a key in Netflix growing their user base.
Okay, well, we'll have to keep an eye whether this is a blip on the radar of Netflix. But since we're talking about tech companies announcing results, Microsoft reported their quarterly earnings and revenue last night, easily topping analysts' expectations thanks to their cloud product Azure.
Yeah, that's the key story there for Microsoft, because they're making this transition from big lumbering one-off software purchase model to a cloud-based subscription model. And their Azure revenue was up by 102%, so that's massive for them. EPS in the fourth quarter was 69 cents, and revenue overall on a group basis was nearly $23 billion. So that's the huge, huge, huge move for this otherwise behemoth.
Yeah, this is the story where these huge IT behemoths like Microsoft, they have to go into cloud, right? Because when we had IBM, which is another behemoth of an IT company, on The Breakfast Grill, Madam Chong Chai-Neo argued that the only way for IBM to stay relevant in the 21st century is for them to move to to the cloud servicing industry. And this is where they can't be as nimble as these startups can be, Netflix and all this. Even Apple can be argued to be rather nimble. Microsoft and IBM needs to survive, and the only way to survive is through iCloud. And sorry, not iCloud. I'm just going to give a promotion on Apple to the cloud servicing services. And the proof is in the detail. You know, Microsoft is getting a huge payoff from this.
Yeah, so that's predicated on this whole delivery of Office 365. I think is the new model name on a recurring monthly basis. And that's interesting because Microsoft has been trying to find their footing ever since the people started moving towards the cloud. And of course, we know that they failed with Nokia, right? And they did cut jobs, nearly 1,900 jobs in March. So some of them in Finland as well. But, the big acquisition that they did a couple of months ago in terms of LinkedIn, $26 billion, I think they bought LinkedIn for. That's going to hugely augment their office productivity services on a monthly basis.
Do you see the synergy there, Chong?
Because huge.
I struggled to see the synergy in the first place. But after I thought about it, because I still thought of Microsoft as the desktop computing. Now, when you think about Microsoft as cloud, LinkedIn in the office space, the enterprise space, it makes more sense.
Well, LinkedIn says, quote unquote, I'm not saying this, but they're saying that they're the world's largest and most valuable professional network. They've got something like 433 million members worldwide. That's a 20% growth on the year from, I think, in March at the time. And they also grew to 105 million unique visiting members per month and 60% mobile. So, if you're in the LinkedIn network, you might be able to get in. And, Microsoft will try and tap some of that subscriber.
Well, staying in the tech space, yesterday we spoke about the stunning announcement that SoftBank would acquire Arm Holdings. Now there are questions being asked about why the company is doing this. One of the more provocative questions came out to say that, is China, did China just acquire the most important company in the world? Which is surprising because SoftBank is Japan-based.
SoftBank may be a Japanese company. Yeah. The founder is a Japanese guy, Masayoshi Son. Mm-hmm. But you see, the thing is, SoftBank, via their investments, they actually control a lot of the Chinese e-commerce market, because they not only control Yahoo Japan and Sprint in Japan, they are also early bankrollers of Alibaba. And according to the stories, and I'm citing a South Bay research note here, which is an advisory firm started by this guy called Gatlin, I think. Basically, SoftBank controls 32% of Alibaba, which in turn controls the Chinese e-commerce market. And Alibaba themselves have invested in e-commerce startups like Weibo as well. So, it's a bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing here.
So how does that correlate though? Because Arm makes the chips for
95% of the smartphones
of devices.
Out there.
Yeah. So how does that correlate with Alibaba and the e-commerce space?
By controlling the bits and bobs that go into e-commerce, and as well as controlling, in a way, via Alibaba, the e-commerce market, they've got both sides of the value chain, not just on the hardware, but also on the software, right? And the thing is, yesterday we saw news that the Internet of Things was the big ARM story. It's all the things, all the Pokemon Go and the huge memory usage and the huge battery usage in terms of Pokemon, they're all part of the same kind of story.
Okay, so I have to ask the obvious question. Is it so bad if China does control this.
Well, you see, that's the thing, right? Do you believe in the China story? Do you believe in the Chinese corporations? And we know that Chinese corporations have a big M&A binge the last couple of years. And more often than not, they go out there and they buy stuff by cash. Mm. And you see, the thing is, critics say that Chinese corporations use cash to buy stuff overseas. Not just in Malaysia, but America and Japan and so on. They use cash because then they can escape the scrutiny that comes along with a stock-based acquisition strategy.
Yeah, so, and these are the same people that do not allow, say, Facebook and YouTube to go into their own
correct
country.
To mundo.
Netflix.
Well, Netflix.
Yeah. Seven, you know, yeah.
Tsk.
So I just add one more point. You know, Carl Icahn, which is a huge believer in Apple stock last year, he said that Apple stock was undervalued. But when Apple reported the quarterlies, he sold his entire stake in Apple because of the Chinese breakdown in the Chinese theme.
At the end of the day, to answer Melissa's question, I don't see it as a problem, because if it's not China, it's someone else. Right now, we're just changing hands, left hand, right hand. There has to be an owner. So now it's just China, I guess.
Okay, 7:46 right now. Yesterday, the HSR, the High Speed Rail MOU, was signed. We'll give you more details after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.